Welcome to the Dürr conference call. Ralf Dieter, CEO, and Carlo Crosetto, CFO of Dürr AG, will present the Dürr Group's figures for the first quarter 2017, followed by a Q&A session. I will now hand over to Mr. Dieter, CEO of Dürr AG.
Yeah, thank you, Mrs. Sander, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome everybody. It is our pleasure to present to you Dürr's figures for the first quarter 2017. And for the first time, I am joined by my new colleague, Carlo Crosetto. As you know, he has been our new CFO since March 1st. Most of you already met him, or some of you met him on the roadshow tour in spring. So Carlo will give a short introduction of himself afterwards for those who have not met him yet. On page 3, I would like to start with a summary of the key highlights of the quarter. First, we had a very good start to 2017 with incoming orders reaching last year's top level. Second, sales increased by 8% in the first quarter. And third, EBIT and earnings after tax rose sharply due to operating improvements and the book gain from the EcoClean sale. Let's turn now to page 4. Incoming orders exceeded the 1 billion euro mark substantially. Order intake and painting activities came in as expected. In environmental business and in woodworking machinery, we had a very strong start. The book-to-bill ratio came to 1.2 in the first quarter. The resulting order backlog is ensuring high capacity utilization in 2017. Order backlog was unchanged, although Dürr EcoClean, with roughly 100 million euros of orders on hand, was deconsolidated at the end of the first quarter. Currency translation had a positive effect of 1 percentage point on order intake and sales. On page 5, you see that incoming orders in Asia were encouraging and made up for the decline in North America. In China, we increased incoming orders by 17%. This was particularly underpinned by HOMAG. Europe displayed steady business, and the proportion of orders generated in the emerging markets again nearly reached the 50% mark. Let's now turn to page 6. In the first quarter, we achieved an EBIT margin of 9.8% compared to 7.1% last year. This includes extraordinary effects of 20.5 million euros, which comprise 22.7 million euros book gain from the EcoClean sale and minus 2.2 million euros from purchase price allocation. In the first quarter 2016, we had a positive extraordinary effect of 2.9 million euros. And EBIT before extraordinary effects came in at 67 million euros, which is an increase of 20% compared to the first quarter 2016. This resulted in an operating EBIT margin of 7.5% versus 6.8% in the previous year. This improvement predominantly comes from economies of scale in our machinery business. And tax expense was at very low level, as the book gain from EcoClean was largely tax-free. Carlo Crosetto will now take you through our financials, but first he will give you some personal details about for those of you who have not met him. Carlo.
Yes, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As I had the pleasure to meet some of you already during the different roadshows, I'll just keep my introduction brief. I've been joining Dürr on the 1st of March, and it's already been 2 months in this role, and very excited to work for this very dynamic and exciting companies. My professional experience started in 1993 back with Daimler or Mercedes-Benz, where I spent 15 years in different finance and CFO roles, including CFO in China and CFO of the performance unit Mercedes AMG. In the last 7 years, I spent mainly in Asia working for a mid-size American Asian conglomerate, which was doing different businesses from automotive, engineering, financial services, heavy equipment, and food. And have, as I said, joined Dürr in 1st of March 2017. As I said, very excited about this new role. Now let's go back to the presentation and back to the numbers. If we go to page 7, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to walk you through that slide. Operating cash flow came to minus 4 million euros in first quarter. That means that on the same level of last year. This reflected unexpected €88 million euro increase in net working capital compared to the same period of compared with the end of 2016. The free cash flow stood at minus €31 million euros, while the change in net financial status was positively influenced by the cash proceeds of €108 million euros from the sale of EcoClean. We expect a strong improvement in the cash flow in the second half of 2017. The overview of our working process and process billings on page 8 shows that the payment balance with our customers has normalized by €79 million euros compared to the end of 2016 and now stands at minus €124 million euros. We consider a figure of around €100 million euros to constitute a normal level, so we expect a further small volume of cash outflows in the next few quarters. Page 9. At 26.1%, our equity ratio increased by 0.7 percentage points compared to March 31st, 2016. Equity increased by €147 million euros in this period. We, of course, expect a further improvement during the course of 2017. Our total cash, including other liquid assets, currently stands at around €890 million euros. Return on capital employed has actually exceeded 35% mark in Q1 and should stay at or above this level for the whole of 2017. I will now hand back to Ralf Dieter, who will highlight the performance of the division and summarize our outlook.
Thank you, Carlo. And let's move on to page 10. Order intake at Paint and Final Assembly Systems was in line with our expectations and 20% below last year's very high level. Our project pipeline remains steady compared to the previous year. We see no decline. Looking forward, Paint and Final Assembly Systems expects generally stable demand, and the decrease in earnings was due to lower sales and higher overheads. Gross margin even increased slightly in the first quarter 17 compared to the same quarter of last year. On page 11, you see that Application Technologies order intake shows an expected moderate decline in the first quarter. And incoming orders in modernization business were slightly up, and service business performed very well. Sales increased by 12%, and the book-to-bill stood at 1.2. Operating EBIT increased by more than 10%, and the operating EBIT margin remained above 10%. The first quarter 2016, EBIT was influenced by an asset sale in North America, which had a book gain of €5.1 million. Ladies and gentlemen, we presented, and this is on page 12, a new automated painting technology for the general industry this week. Dürr and KUKA introduced a jointly developed integrated robot solution for the general industry. The areas of application include the painting of wood, plastics, glass, and metal components. KUKA will provide the compact robot and Dürr the paint application technology. The pre-installed and ready-to-spray robot system contains fully compatible tried and tested components and offers a unique combination in the market. The solution will be sold via the sales channels of Dürr and KUKA. It is designed for small work pieces. Larger work pieces can be covered by Dürr's own painting robots, which have been proven in the automotive industry. The price level for such a system starts at around €75,000 and ends at around €140,000, depending on the specifications and configurations. And as we talk here, we have a customer day here in the campus in Bietigheim, and we can see a very high interest and very lively discussions and excitement about this ready-to-spray solution. On page 13, you can see that order intake at Measuring and Process Systems was 11% below last year's very high level. But the only reason for that was the weak order intake at EcoClean. All other activities were unchanged or slightly improved. Despite a sales increase of 20%, the book-to-bill ratio still stood at 1.2, and the EBIT margin increased sharply by 2.5 percentage points due to the increased sales and high utilization and reached 10.3%. The EcoClean book gain was recognized at the corporate center level, not in this division. Page 14 shows the results for Clean Technology Systems. Order intake and sales rose again sharply in the first quarter, driven by growth in our environmental technology business. Order intake rose by 34% and succeeded sales by 48%. Asia is now the most important region for Clean Technology Systems. The earnings situation remained weak due to the disappointing performance of energy efficiency technology. We have to expect restructuring costs to streamline this business during the course of this year. Ladies and gentlemen, let me continue on page 15 with the Woodworking Machinery and System Division. HOMAG continued on its upward trend and had a very strong start to 2017. Order intake rose by 31% and sales by 14%. HOMAG recently announced the biggest order in China ever, with 300 machines worth 30 million euros in one order. Orders on hand exceeded 500 million euros at the quarter end. EBIT increased by 47% to 21 million euros and considerably outpaced the sales growth. The earnings growth is fully comparable. Adjusted for PPA effects, the operating EBIT margin rose to 7.8% in the first quarter, up from 6.4% last year. The reported EBIT margin stood at 7.1% compared to 5.5% in the first quarter last year. In the coming quarters, PPA expenses will stay at around 2 million per quarter. Let's now move to page 16. And as you know, our service business is a key driver of both customer satisfaction and value creation. Service sales grew by 4% in the first quarter, coming to 239 million and accounting for 27% of consolidated sales. Margins are unchanged on a high level, and we confirm our midterm target of 30% of total sales. We expect the positive trend in our service business to continue steadily. PwC's market experts published their latest forecast for light vehicle production in April, shown on page 17. PwC has hardly changed its market expectation and projects global production growth of 3% in the next years. Worldwide growth is slowing somewhat after US and Europe performed very well in the recent years. China should grow by around 4-5%. 33 million light vehicles should be built in China in 2021, which is a plus of 7 million units compared to last year. The countries and regions with the biggest growth potential are India, Southeast Asia, Iran, and Russia. Let's turn to page 18. Based on the good start into the year, we are reconfirming our outlook. We want to make up for the gap left by the sale of EcoClean and repeat the order intake and sales volume of 2016. We are confident that we can well achieve our earnings target for 2017 as well. Our EBIT margin target is 7.5 to 8.25%. Ladies and gentlemen, before inviting you to ask questions, I would like to draw a short conclusion. We successfully finalized the sales of EcoClean. We had a good start to the year with strong order intake and sales growth of 8%. Net profit increased by 62%. The operating margin was up by 0.8 percentage points to already 7.5%. Our cash flow was temporarily weak, but it is expected to improve in the second half of 2017. HOMAG is now the largest earnings contributor in the group with further potentials. We confirm the guidance for 2017 and see the upper guidance ranges as more realistic. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much so far for your attention. We will now be happy to answer your questions, and I will hand over back to Mrs. Sander.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Ingo Schachel, Commerzbank.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. The first one would be on your R&D expenses. They've obviously gone up significantly in the quarter by 20%. Just wondering whether you could give us a bit more color which activities that relates to. I would assume that maybe already something to the, let's say, more digital activities that you're focusing on, maybe some Ligna-related and other fields. Just a little bit more color on that would be helpful. Second question is on the paint and assembly systems margin. I would like to understand your comments regarding the overhead costs and the impact on EBIT margins a bit better. So on the overhead costs specifically, if you could explain a bit where that comes from. I have to say that I did not necessarily see that coming. And then whether there are any other noteworthy factors along the lines of mix versus new equipment margin or services margin, in which area of paint and assembly systems you saw stronger margin contraction. And then the last short question would be on the modernization and upgrades part of your service business. It seems like this part was down 5% in the quarter. And given the rather weak turnkey business, I would also not have expected that modernizations and upgrades becomes weaker during the quarter. Could you maybe elaborate on the market trends that you've seen in this part of your service business specifically?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Schaller, for your question. First of all, you helped me because I have skipped, unfortunately, a highlight of today, which is on page 16. And this also is the one of the answers you gave yourself, because we have an increase in R&D expenses, which I also mean in the PFS area. That's overhead is also including R&D. We have spent more money than planned, and I think we have wisely done that for all our digital activities. And today, a new IoT platform from HOMAG called Tapio is live on the market and will be introduced on Ligna on the 22nd of May. You know, Ligna is the largest woodworking trade show in the world, taking place every 2 years in Hanover. And this platform we are offering here, you have heard about, there was a lot of press releases about Axum from Trumpf, and this platform here is not the same concept. It's a ready live platform where we not only connect our customers with, but we have 80,000 of them in HOMAG worldwide, but also we have invited and are already participating suppliers, like tool suppliers, like wood suppliers, and also we will invite competitors to get on this platform, because we want to, and we will have the leading position here in the digital world of the woodworking machinery business. So that's a big highlight. And that also explains the overrun expenses, but it's not only in HOMAG, but also in APT, PFS, CTS divisions. We are heavily working on digital solutions, and that's the answer to your first two questions. I don't know where you have from that modernization upgrade business is down, because we don't report on these numbers, but actually the brownfield business is up in the first quarter. What I would also like to draw your attention on, the difference in order intake in paint and final assembly between the first quarter this year and last year is basically one order, one project. And we will not start that again to talk about letter of intents, but we have more letter of intents at the end of the quarter, basically projects awarded but not in the contract yet, to overcome that gap. So don't look too much into this gap. It's not really a gap compared to last year. And the same is for application technology.
Okay, thanks. And just a quick follow-up on the first one. So as a direct Ligna cost impact, would you say that those the specific Ligna costs in the Q1 or Q2 numbers for HOMAG?
Ligna cost, was planned, but when we made the budget up last year in summer, we did not anticipate all the activities we are undertaking for the IoT platform and for the all the smart products and smart services we are creating. And we said, let's move on. We have to be fast, because in this digital world, it's more decisive who is fast than who has budgeted properly numbers. So we have an overrun, and we will have an overrun the whole year. Maybe later of the year we can give you a more clear picture of what additional R&D investments we have this year in order to be in the leading position for this digitization or Industry 4.0, as it's called.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Jack O'Brien, Goldman Sachs.
Good afternoon, everyone. Just interested, you've obviously got a very strong balance sheet at the moment, so
would be keen to hear your thoughts on where you think net cash could get to by the year end, and if you're seeing any interesting opportunities to buy the next home ag.
Okay. If you have any tip, please, I'll take it. Welcome. Yeah, for sure. We are keeping our eyes very open. We have, I think, we do what we can to identify that, but it's a little bit also driven, as I said last time, by coincidence and by a little bit luck, because also HOMAG at the end was an just by luck and coincidence that the right timing was in place. And so, but to be also very clear, at the moment we have nothing in our radar screen which looks like HOMAG. It will be also not so easy to find such a thing again.
No, I understand. and just one more, if I may. Clearly you've been seeing very good order growth at HOMAG, underpinned by China, you say. How are you actually winning those orders, and what do you think has been the reason behind this success so far?
Jack, it's a very good question. I would like to answer that. When you look at the woodworking machinery equipment business, like typically machinery business, you have this ABC segments, and what we are talking here is the A segment, so industrialized, fully automated or highly automated plants, furniture plants, and here our market share in China is more than 60, maybe 70%. And the Chinese know that if they want to buy such a equipment or to build such a plant, they talk first to HOMAG. We have a very good sales organization in China which ensures that, but it's a build-up reputation, and we have no competitor, neither in Chinese nor we have only a German one, IMA, which is also in this marketplace, but also from his size he's not capable to do a lot of that business, and that explains that why we get all these orders.
Okay, great. I'll let someone else have a go. Thanks.
Great, Zach, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Christoph Laskawi, Deutsche Bank.
Hi, Christoph Laskawi, Deutsche. Thank you for taking my question. Two, actually. The first one is on paint and final assembly. You commented on expecting fairly stable demand for the segment in general. And you commented that overhead costs actually led to a margin decline this quarter. Can you offset that going forward with stable demand, or do you need to restructure? Do you have any measures in mind that you would want to apply to that division? That's the first question. And the second one would be, you saw order intake growth again in China. I take it that that's mostly related to HOMAG business. How's the situation with the OEMs? Are the new or local Chinese looking more into orders for your other businesses, or is that fairly stable at the moment? Thank you.
Okay. First of all, we expect a stable demand because we have a project pipeline we look at, and this is sufficiently filled. As I said last time when we published our preliminary numbers, the pipeline looks a bit different. There are a lot of new electric vehicle companies in. One order we got in the first quarter as well. Another one we got in letter of intent. So we're working with all these guys. But I also said not all of this project maybe will materialize due to finance issues or whatever. So, but we see also in the second half that the, let's call it, traditional OEMs are also discussing with us now, and I'm next week in China again, also for that reason, to discuss further expansion of the capacities. So I'm very optimistic for China. China is normalized now, but it's not on the peak as 2013 or 14, but I think we will have enough business there. In the first quarter, HOMAG was strong in China, yes, but also our machinery business had a good quarter, so balancing and end-of-line business was also quite stable, and so we are positive about this. Restructuring and final assembly, no, not on the radar screen, because out of that what I said, and by the worldwide utilization we have, there's no thought about this at the moment.
Okay, very clear. Thanks a lot.
Just on the, you asked a question about the margin. We have indicated that the margin would normalize the level between 6.0 and 6.5. Yeah. So that's the expectation that, that we had, and we're perfectly aligned with that. And the overhead question, I think Ralph had briefly answered that before, that is driven by a little bit higher R&D expenses related to Industry 4.0, Internet of Things, and to a lesser extent, additional service activities. So it's mainly Internet of Things related.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from Sven Weier, UBS.
Good afternoon from my side. A couple of questions, please. The first one is on the HOMAG order intake, which has obviously been really another nice growth rate year on year. If I took it from your comments, I think there was no real big ticket in there. I think you got a big ticket for Q2, but not Q1. So that seems to be a pretty broad-based increase here. So, and you said there's the Ligna show in Q2, so is it fair to assume that the order intake will remain at that level also at least in Q2? Second question is just wondering on the competitive environment that you see in the paint shops, any changes there in terms of how aggressive the competitors are that now that the market is a bit going more sideways. And the last point is just on, I think that's what you mentioned in the last call, on a new kind of production setup for electric car makers. I think you're working something with Tesla there. Is there anything you can report already in terms of how it would be different from today's kind of manufacturing processes? Thank you.
Thanks, Ben, for your questions. First one, the order level of HOMAG in the second quarter, I would love it would have been the same level, but it's not realistic. It's a really enormous also burden for the company to put, because order intake is one thing, but we have to deliver. And we are fully loaded. We are now even increasing working hours for people in Germany and elsewhere. So, but I still think that the second quarter will be a good quarter as well. And the Ligna traditionally also fuels in good business. So let's see, but I would not promise anything. But I see that it's still continue to be strong, not on that level. The competition in paint and fine assembly, I think it's well spread already that our competitor Eisenmann is has started in the process to evaluate the sale of the company. What we see is in some actual projects which are close to be decided or already decided that due to the fact that last year they didn't get one big order, they lost all of them against us, they are now trying to fill up with some larger orders to their book, and they are very aggressive at the moment, so aggressive that we would not follow that that line because we, as we said, margin is first and then order intake. But more I don't want to comment on competitors. The last question regarding Tesla, the final assembly line. First of all, this project, which is, has, let's say, to make it simple and not too complex, some characteristics. First of all, the footprint of this assembly line is about 40% of a normal final assembly line due to, let's say, space restriction Tesla had. We are normally a fine assembly line is on one ground floor. This one is on two, respectively, three floors. So it's in, and it has a very high degree of automation. So we have a lot of robots in the fine assembly line, which is normally dominated by manual work. So here the automation is the key and the specialty. And this project has created and has given us a lot of high-level meetings with the other OEMs talking with us about future concepts of final assembly lines. And the beauty of that meetings is that we also get quite good insights of what they are planning in the next 10, 15 years about their electric vehicles, how they are built and how they will maybe be assembled. And I think we will have business out of that in the future, not short term, but in minimum and fine assembly we have taken, which is normally a commodity business, but we have in this area a leading position now. And by the way, the good news, all this car will be painted. So that's quite stable. Does that answer your questions?
Yes, it does. So just maybe a follow-up. I think we heard that VW was saying they invest $300 million into retooling of the Zwickau plant for making it EV-ready. I mean, is there kind of a rule of thumb or something that we could say how much of that would be typically spend on your equipment, or how should we look at that? Is it very specific to VW? Anything we can draw from that?
Oh, it's a tribute because, you know, VW has a lot of plants, and their thinking at the moment is to integrate electrical vehicles in the existing lines, which needs retooling in a lot of areas. It's starting from handling systems, which we are not affected with, filling systems, we are, because we are most in this particular Zwickau, we are all over. It affects end-of-line testing. It could be changes in the conveyor. So how much of such 300 million would be potentially for us? I don't know, but I would guess something about 10% maybe. And we are in discussions with Volkswagen about that. Other OEMs also think about that, and some others, in particular in China, they want to build new plants because, as I said, electric vehicle is from this whole concept more simple to assemble, and therefore you have different concepts, less space, more automation, and they want to have new lines for that. So we will see both.
And maybe one quick follow-up on the paint shop comment. I think you said it previously, you have a lot of letters of intent and you closed the gap. So should I take it from that comment that the orders should be picking up again sequentially in Q2 in that?
No, you should take from this comment that for me the first quarter was at the same level in order intake than last year, even if not looked like, reported like that.
And then stable on that level then from here, so to say.
So we try to, yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Currently, there are no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. The next question comes from Harald Remitz, LBBW.
Thank you. Three questions from my side. First of all, just for housekeeping, two questions. Could you give us some details? What is behind the negative figure of minus 1.5 million euros for other investment expenses in the P&L? And second, what's the whole amount of incoming orders, sales, and EBIT of EcoClean in Q1 so we have the right base for the future? And finally, could you bit elaborate on the structural changes addressed in the energy efficiency business and maybe the related costs that might occur in the quarters to come?
Mr. Remert, thank you for these questions. I start with the last one, the structural measures. I mean, the energy efficiency activities have not materialized as we were hoping some years ago. Main reason, as you know, the energy prices have not continued to increase as anticipated 5 years ago. Secondly, in today's time, people are not investing in energy saving because there's not really a need for it. And also third, I think some of the technologies are, let's say, still to be proven in future that's the right way to go. So anyway, we have different activities. In total, it's not even 10 million euro in sales. It's, but though some of these activities maybe we will have to change or maybe not or to discontinue. And the plan for that we are just preparing. And but our estimate, and please don't nail me on that, our estimate is that we'll be restructuring costs during the year between so one digit, so 5 million, something in that area. Maybe 5 to 10, the range of 5 to 10 million, I don't know yet.
Okay.
EcoClean, normally we don't report on this, but we today we have a special service for you, maybe, do we?
Yeah. EcoClean.
EcoClean, order intake.
Order intake, first quarter.
Mr. Rehman, we have to check just one because I don't have it in my mind because we sold it. It's out of my mind already a little bit.
Yeah, and the first question on the 1.5 was the revaluation of or FX loss on dividends. So that was just an FX adjustment.
So order intake was about 37 million and the sales was about 47 million and they also made EBIT 3.5.
I didn't get the first number. Incoming orders
I will not repeat. No, I'm joking. Don't worry. It's the incoming orders were 37.
37, and 47 was the sales.
Yes.
Okay.
And that shows because last year we had an order intake, a much higher number. That explains the MPS decline. Last year we were at a level of 60 million order intake. Thank you. But this was also a very big special order.
quick follow-up regarding energy efficiency. This mean this what you said means you will go out of some of your technologies you have currently in your portfolio?
That would be not an incorrect statement, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Daniel Klein, MainFirst.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking my question. The first one is on the paint business. The impression that I gotten is that we see a stabilization year over year. This is what you indicated. The question that I have on the EV transition, we had discussions on this in the past quarters, and I would like to get a bit better feeling on how you see yourself along the curve. Is this becoming more concrete than you initially expected, or is the EV transition happening as expected? You said you're in discussions with OEMs. Have there been any delays from your perspective or an acceleration? If you could give us a little bit more color on how you see that evolving.
This is a very good question, but if I would have the answer, I would not do this job here anymore. I would go to an OEM and would get a lot of money for this prediction. They all don't know really how it progresses. I think that has speeded up, which we can see out of the sales numbers Tesla has. Everybody's, but they all have problems to really forecast how many cars will be bought in what year. But I think it will be faster than the original estimates. But everybody is just preparing to be able to deliver those cars, but the numbers are very unpredictable at the moment. I firmly think they will steadily grow from now.
If we take it a little bit one step further to your top line, in terms of the equipment discussions you have with the OEMs, do you have the feeling this is becoming more concrete, or is this being pushed out? If we talk about the equipment and not the actual vehicles to be produced.
Yeah. I think parallel to the plans or to the creation of these those vehicles, our customers also talk and plan about factories and therefore equipment. So what I see is that a lot of focus is on that, so I don't see a delay there. But we should not anticipate that electric vehicles production equipment is on top of the today ones, because they are also moving investments from the traditional part into the electric vehicle part.
Okay. Maybe one housekeeping question on the woodworking business. Did the increased risk provisions have a similar impact in the first quarter than they had in the fourth quarter of 2016, i.e., has this way of prudence in terms of risk provisions sustained, and the impact is the same sequentially?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, because I think we are conservative as always. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe lastly, you said on your guidance for 17 that you see yourself at the higher end. Was this on margin specifically, or in general terms?
This was unspecified in a general response, but we can give you more light into that after the second quarter. Then we know better.
All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you. The next question is from Peter Rothenaicher, Baader Bank.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Perhaps some more details on your MPS business, which still performed very favorably, if I think. In the recent years, you had here already a successful development in terms of order intake and particularly margin performance, and now the first quarter this year was excellent also in terms of margin improvement, as you mentioned. If we exclude EcoClean, it was also very strong in terms of order intake. Can you provide us here some background? What is the reason for this success, and what do you expect here for the future? And even excluding the EcoClean effect, then do you think that then the margin could also grow further for the remainder of 2017, as I mentioned, excluding EcoClean? Second question on application technology. Can you give us some statements regarding your performance of your new general industries business? How is it proceeding? Are you gaining here some more business? And what could be the opportunity with the new KUKA project? What sales volume can you expect here, let's say, in about 2 or 3 years' time? And last question on your paint and final assembly business. What is your current view about potentials for orders for modernization or new greenfield plants in the U.S.? Is there something big ahead? Do you see here some positive impact from making U.S. strong again? And yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Owen. I have a lot of questions. First of all, starting with the MPS, I think you remember that EcoClean for many years was a negative contributor in the MPS division, and we were happy to turn it around. I think it was 2015 we started to see black numbers, and they have improved since then, and that explains the increased margin. But we also had an increase, but to a very high level on the balancing side, on the filling side, and the end-of-line side, where we see that we have reached a level which is easy to continue. But what you will see out of the EcoClean consolidation that we will move towards 14% here EBIT margin by the end of the year. That's a very high level. I think that's a very high level. Yeah. And the APT performance in the industry business. Now our industry business has, first of all, it was products, and so let's call it, it's a volume of about 20 million this year. We also see that we can reach the break even latest next year, because we still do developments for further products, because you have to have quite a wide portfolio of those pumps and applicators for the general industry to be able to deliver to these distributors and integrators. But we are confident about that. It develops not as fast as we wanted, but our competitors in this field try to make it more difficult for us, but we are very optimistic. And the new robot, I was also asking my people what they expect. I talked to the Kuka guys. So we see next year a chance to sell maybe 200 of these systems together with Kuka. Yeah, and maybe the market can also give, maybe in 3 years could be 300-400. That's our objective. But don't come back to that, because we have not planned it. Yeah? But today, the customer day and the interest and the curiosity and the level of discussion shows me that this is a product in a niche which is not basically, today nobody has such an offering. You always can buy a robot, you can buy application, and you have to integrate yourself. Here you buy basically ready to spray, as we say. And if you want one, you can just buy it and you can spray it home starting immediately.
And how is the profitability of this kind of business?
What do you mean?
This KUKA project. What can you imagine here as a profitability level? Is it on the average of application technology or?
Yeah, that's our minimum expectation. Yes, but expect it like that.
Mm-hmm.
What you should also know, we are working with KUKA since many years together, because for our sealing and gluing applications, particularly for sealing, we are using robot mechanics from KUKA since many years.
Yeah.
I would like to add that the contribution is not the problem, it's the scale of the business. So. I think that's what we're working on, to bring it to a higher scale, and then I think we'll start making significant money, hopefully.
So you see, our new CFO is ambitious with that business. But the point is, what he said is totally right. The question is, we have to get into volume, and then it's a good business, very good. Okay.
The last question was on U.S.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Greenfield in USA. In USA, as already last year, we see more brownfield, but this is also, what do you define as a brownfield? We define a brownfield paint job project when, even if a customer is moving out all old equipment, but he keeps the paint job building, then it's still for us a brownfield. So we see a lot of modernization projects as last year, so we have a good pipeline there. And also Mexico continues, so, but it's not on the high level. Last year it was a very high level in North America, not US, but North America. And we see a lower level this year, but very normal. It has nothing political backgrounds or so, in our opinion.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And the last question is from Jasko Persic, Metzler.
Yes. Four, if I may. First one on HOMAG. Could you give us an update how your solutions business is performing there? What share of sales you currently generate, and regarding profitability, because when I remember correctly, you wanted to go towards break-even going forward. And secondly, on HOMAG as well, your order intake is strong, your growth is strong. Could you give an update on your 2020 targets? I think it was 1.25 billion in sales and 8 to 10% EBIT margin. Second question on your EBIT guidance. You already reached the upper end, so could you give us an indication what risk we should factor in the coming quarters? And then on your industrial painting, could you give us an update on your profitability development? And is the new robot helping to achieve your 2019 goal of 50 million in sales?
The last question, I can, first of all, gentlemen, we don't answer all this data on sub-level, subdivision level, and not even, we are talking now about sub-subdivision level, but I give you some insight. For sure, this new robot will support this 50 million target, yeah? So definitely, whether we can reach that, at the moment I'm optimistic for 2019 as I see the development. OMAC, our solution business, we call it system business, which are selling a lot of machines integrated, and this business, you're right, was not profitable. I think we have managed that we are out of the red numbers there, so it's slightly profitable, but on the course to become more profitable due to many measures which take too long to explain here. But first of all, by discipline, we don't take orders which are not profitable, full stop, yeah. And the range of the business is 30%, and I think this will continue this year as well. Maybe it's 34% at the end of the year, I don't know, but something around the 30% range. And the 2020 target, you repeated 1.25 billion sales for HOMAG. Yeah, this is the target. I think when the actual development continues, I personally think that this target will be achieved earlier, without making here a forecast when, but earlier than 2020, I think it's most likely now. And the 8 to 10% EBIT target, I think you can also see by the development this is achievable over the course of the next 2-3 years. So I think HOMAG will perform better than this target 2020, as well earlier. Now you want to know when, but I can't tell you, just earlier. Okay?
Yes, very helpful. And finally, on your group guidance, because Q1 was so strong on your adjusted performance.
Yeah, as I said, we confirmed that guidance, and we give us the second quarter, and then we talk again about it, as we never did to change in the first quarter.
Okay. Thank you.
I think that's fair to wait for summer.
Thank you. There are no further questions. I hand back to the speakers.
Yeah, Mr. Sander, thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your questions and your interest. We enjoyed the discussion as always very much, and we would like to say goodbye for today and wish you a pleasant afternoon. And when we have the second quarter call, do you know the date, Günther?
August something.
Fifth of August, and then you can ask again about the guidance. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, ladies.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call is being concluded. You may disconnect.